Baby stars are twirling like skaters on the ice, spinning as they shrink. But not all of them are up to speed, and astronomers want to know why. Hello, I'm Dr. Robert Hurt.
This Spitzer Space Telescope podcast is part of a series highlighting recent discoveries in infrared astronomy. It's produced by NASA's Spitzer Science Center at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. The Spitzer mission is managed by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
So today we're speaking with Dr. Luisa Rabol of the Spitzer Science Center, and she's here to talk about an interesting mystery surrounding the spinning stars in space.
Indeed, it's a very interesting mystery. We're trying to figure out why some young stars spin quickly and why some young stars spin slowly.
So what causes stars to spin in the first place?
Well, the way that a star forms is you start with a big cloud of gas and dust that eventually is going to condense down and become a star. But like a skater pulling in her arms, when you start with something big and you end up with something small, it's going to spin really, really quickly. So the question is, why don't all young stars spin quickly? Why do some of them spin slowly?
So with Spitzer, you've been able to start to look into this mystery and maybe find some of the answers to it. What is it that Spitzer has allowed you to do that we weren't able to do before?
Spitzer's really, really good at looking for disks of matter around these young stars, disks of stuff that's probably forming planets, but we don't know that for sure. Spitzer's just looking at the dust that's around these young stars. And because Spitzer's so good at finding these dusty disks, we're able to tell for sure which stars have dusty disks and which stars don't.
So in order to do this, where did you turn Spitzer to observe, to understand this?
Well, we looked at stars in the Orion Nebula. There's a fantastic image on the Spitzer website that has the heart of the Orion Nebula in the infrared, and it is just gorgeous. That is actually the data that we used. And the Orion Nebula is sort of a downtown, very dense part of a star-forming region. There's so many stars forming there that if we lived there, we'd never have night. That's how many stars there are.
So how many stars were in your study?
We were able to use IRAC data for about 500 of these young stars, and by sheer numbers then, we can start to look statistically at the differences between the stars that have disks and the stars that don't have disks. And it turns out that the stars with disks are 5 times more likely to be rotating slowly than the stars without disks.
So just the presence of a disk, maybe even a disk from which planets could form at some point, is slowing the star down, or this group of stars down. What is it about the disk that would bring the star to a halt like that?
Well, it turns out these young stars have very, very strong magnetic fields, much stronger than the magnetic fields that we find in the sun. And those magnetic fields actually interact with the disk. So sort of like trying to drag a spoon through molasses, those magnetic fields are trying to drag through the disk. And so the disk itself slows down the star. The disk is pulling on the magnetic field. So even though the star is trying to drag that magnetic field around and spin quickly, the disk is pulling it back and keeping it from spinning up.
So it's like a cosmic tether that's strung between the star and the disk.
Sort of, yeah. The magnetic fields really are sort of locking the star to the disk. It's actually called the disk locking model, what I've just described.
So your observations really have been to try to confirm these models, these theoretical models that have existed before.
We're trying to understand exactly what's going on, because the models had a really good story. They spun a really good tale, and we really hoped that was what was going on, because it was the most logical solution. It seemed to make the most sense. But the evidence that we had until now was very confusing. It didn't have a clear result. So the Spitzer results are the clearest evidence we have yet. The disks are the answer.
So what got you interested in this in the first place?
Well, kind of frighteningly, I've been doing this for about 10 years. Part of the rotation data that I used came from my PhD thesis project at the University of Chicago. So I've been interested in this for a while now, and we've been trying to sort out this mystery, trying to understand exactly what's going on. It's pretty confusing, but I'm really happy that the Spitzer results are the clearest results yet.
So, wow, this dates back to your actual graduate work.
I'm not that old.
So, does this mean it's all done? Have you finally answered everything?
No, it turns out that, you know, like with most things in science, every time you think you've solved one problem, you open a Pandora's box of a dozen more, and it turns out that a lot of things may be going on. It could be that the environment matters. Remember, I mentioned Orion is a very dense star-forming region. It's sort of like the inner city of star-forming regions. So what happens in the country? What happens in the suburbs? Do neighbors make a difference for the rotation rate of a star? They might. We don't know.
And do you know anything more about how the disks here may be related to the presence of planets and whether stars' rotation speeds are tied to the presence of planets around them?
It would be really nice if I could say that, but I can't. I don't know, because with Spitzer, I'm really just looking at the dust. I don't know anything about whether or not they're forming planets. I just know about the dust. So we're going to have to build another telescope or build another cool instrument to find out whether or not they're forming planets.
Well, I guess we're going to have to get some people out working on that right now, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Louisa Rabol of the Spitzer Science Center. Thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the podcast for the Spitzer Space Telescope.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.spitzer.caltech.edu. You can browse our image galleries, read about the latest results, and subscribe to our newsletter. On behalf of NASA's Spitzer Science Center, thanks for listening.